Con Show with Anna DeVlantis right here live at the United Center before the Blackhawks take on the Blues, presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Relocate your business for success, courtesy of Citgo. Citgo is fueling good. How about that?
Sounds good.
Yes, we know that to be true. All right. Couldn't get better than this. John McDonough is with us. He's the president of your beloved Chicago Blackhawks, and has had an amazing storied career in Chicago sports. Was the vice president in charge of marketing for the Chicago Cubs, and a lifelong White Sox fan. I've never been able to figure out how the whole thing works for him, but somehow it has. And really, I mean, when you think about it, John came over to the Blackhawks in 07, right? Was it
November of 07?
November of 2007, and nothing good's happened since then. Don't worry about it.
So, a lot good has happened. Yeah. It's been amazing, really, the ride.
It has been an amazing ride. And the joy you have brought to this city, and the joy that you and Rocky Wirtz and Jay Blunk and all the rest of the people in the organization. And it was really interesting, too, because when you get people, whether it's people who work in the broadcasting side or the players, they always mention – they have like a – it's almost like a NASCAR driver when they say, I'd like to thank, you know, the Penske team and the, you know, the Ford – you know, Gitmo engine and the, you know, whatever it is. That's the, when anybody in this organization talks about the organization, they go, well, it all starts with Rocky Wirtz and John McDonough and Jay Blunk, and they work their way down. So congratulations. You're a beloved man.
Well, thank you. You know, it's a very unified, collaborative organization. And really from day one, when we started from scratch or before scratch or whatever that might be, we hired well. And that to me is really important, and making tough decisions and putting the right people, Jay and Stan and Al and the rest of these people in their positions, and then at some point putting this organization in a good place and putting the right people in place and kind of stepping back and weighing in. Don't get invited to a lot of meetings anymore because they're doing so well, but sometimes at a certain point in your career, the teacher gets lapped by the students, and I think I'm right in the middle of that right now. Stan and Jay are just breezing past me. I'm proud of them.
Well, Stan Bowman has the general manager of this team, who's got to make these decisions, these hockey decisions, on-ice decisions, has done such an amazing job. It's one of the hardest jobs in all sports, right? Because the salary cap kicks in every year. The more successful you are, the more you get penalized by the system. And you've got to find a way to put winners on the ice year after year after year. And you see some of these great teams, they go through these droughts, and it's a cycle, and somehow the Hawks have been able to stay on top of the wave.
Well, you've interviewed Stan many times, and he's methodical, and he's understated, and he's cool, and he's unwavering, and there's a really good process and system in place, and he's hired really well, and he's been through the highs and lows his entire life. I mean, his father, Scotty Bowman, has been through this, and I think he's been part. I heard you talking about Scotty
Bowman cannot be caught. No matter how much Stan wins, he cannot catch Scotty Bowman, because every time that Scotty Bowman is every time Stan Bowman wins a game or a championship or whatever it happens to be, it counts toward his dad as well, because his dad is on the payroll.
That's exactly right. He'll never catch his dad. But it's certainly in the DNA. It's in his blood. And, you know, Stan was a computer science major and a finance major from the University of Notre Dame. And I just like how he goes about his business day in, day out. His communication skills with me have been terrific. And I'm very proud. I'm certainly at that stage in my career. I'm very proud of what we have here.
Oh, you should be. Wow. It is something. A little scary, though, right now. Hawks fans come into the stadium tonight as they take on the Blues. There's, you know, the team's a little banged up, I guess, is one
Get
way
some
of putting
players
it.
Out.
Right. There's some players out. But, you know, this is a team that has made emblematic the concept of next guy, right? Next man up.
Yeah, I think so. I think we've got a pretty deep bench, and I'd rather have these guys a little banged up this week than next week. You know, I'm pretty confident that when the bell rings next week, if it's St. Louis we happen to play against, that we're going to be pretty healthy. Hopefully Corey comes back this week and plays on Sunday, and Shaw's ready, and Hose is ready, and Anisimov's ready, and we'll be back at full strength. So it's good to have Brian Bickle back. He was called up yesterday, and he's a prime time guy, and, you know, we're hoping for good results from him. It's exciting. I mean, he's a big body. He's what we need. It's what the playoffs are all about.
Especially with those Blues. I want some guy. I'd like you to hire a gorilla, actually, and just put him on the ice. Who doesn't have to wear skates. Just let him run up against and scare these other guys. I hate the Blues. I just hate him, Jeff.
Well, that's Jay's department by hiring a gorilla, but
talk to Jay about it, bro. Okay?
But you know, these are four heavyweight bouts. You know, these four rounds of the Stanley Cup playoffs, and it's a long, grinding season. These 82 games, and you know, to see what season Patrick Kane is having right now, it's as if he's on a mission to prove something when he has nothing to prove.
For
and,
sure.
You know, rookie of the year at one point, and 249. Career goals and could be the MVP of the league. So it's been great. And Johnny Taves kind of quietly is also having another great season.
How about this Panarin guy, too? Wow, what a story. What a magical guy to watch on the ice. I mean, I know you don't talk to him very much because the guy doesn't understand a word of English. But but just what an amazing thing to watch, right?
Well, a lot of the credit goes to one of our scouts, development people, Barry Smith, who actually coached in the KHL. And coached in Russia. And, you know, I think a lot of this is networking, that if a player isn't drafted for 4 years, he becomes a free agent. That's really how we acquired Trevor Van Riemsdyk and Gustafsson and Panarin. And Panarin, I think, is 23 or 24. And even Barry said, I knew he was a star. I never knew he would be this good. But it's just a great rhythm that they're all synced up with Anisimov and Kane, and it looks like that they've been playing together for a long time. And they just look like they're having a ball out there. And it's a lot of fun, and hopefully that continues into the playoffs.
Talk about Scott Darling. He was nice enough to call into our show last week.
I heard it.
He said that you know, it's been a blur, everything, and that he hasn't had this many starts in his life, stepping in capably for Corey Crawford. No question about that. And we've seen him do that before.
This is good. It's a good experience for him. You know, these points really matter at the end of the season. He's never done this before in his career. He's
right.
Never started as many games. Just the whole story, you know. You've got a guy. You know, if you're gonna write a screenplay for a movie, and here comes this kid that's been through so much,
no question,
and comes through the minor leagues. We happen to acquire him. He plays a big role early in the Stanley Cup playoffs. We win the Stanley Cup. He's from Chicago. His name is Darling. It's almost too,
it's like,
almost
no way.
Too good.
Yeah.
It's
Come
almost
on.
Too good to be true.
It makes Rudy look like a tragic drama.
And it's just a perfect fit, and he's a perfect fit with Corey Crawford. There's a lot of mutual respect.
Seems like
and
it.
They complement each other, and the guys are players in the room. They love Scott.
Well, Ro mentioned he hates the Blues, and I think many fans here share the same sentiment, but this has really become one of the better rivalries in all of the NHL and certainly in this division, especially now with the Red Wings in a different conference. But rivalries, good thing for the league, right? It always seems to be a different sort of excitement in the air when these two teams are playing each other.
Great rivalry, great geographic rivalry. Our fans travel heavy. They love going to St. Louis.
Well, you're familiar with this problem, are you not?
Yeah, we are. We are. we were well represented with the Cubs, and we would play the Cardinals in St. Louis. But it's a great rivalry, and if that's who we wind up playing in the first round, you know, it's a big series. It's a very physical series. We've had some success, but the one thing I have learned is whatever happens during the regular season, throw that out. Whatever you think is going to happen isn't, and it's a brand new season. It's elevated to another level of play, and it's amazing to watch.
Totally true last year, too. I mean, I think a couple of times I whimpered like a little baby to you about my concerns about them in the playoffs last year, and you were like, calm down, it's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. John's got that way about him.
He does, that calming way that you need at certain points like
That's
that.
That's true. But, you know, in the West, it's interesting how the NHL has set this up, and I think that they're starting to address this issue in scheduling because of the way that they really have kind of separated out the East and the Western conferences, those long-standing rivalries are hard to come by now in the Western Conference. In the Eastern Conference, all day long, right?
Right.
Between the Bruins and the Rangers
right.
and Canadiens.
You've got
and,
most
and
of the
Maple
original
Leafs, right?
There, yeah.
And now, you know, Detroit being there is, you know, bothersome, I think, to a lot of Hawks fans. So, you know, the Hawks then have to look at other places. Was Nashville really going to be a geographic rivalry for us? What was it really going to be? The Blues always have been. You know, they have been pretty much.
They have, and I think Minnesota's kind of getting to that point, too. But
yeah.
it's this season has been so interesting because we sit here today with two games remaining in the regular season with 101 points. Last year we had 102, but this year just feels different. You know, we lost four games in a row at home.
We won 12, though, in a row.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that was, remember
yeah,
that?
Absolutely. But it just had a different feel. I mean, if we win tonight or we win on Saturday, we're going to surpass last year's point total. But we just need to have everybody healthy in the middle of next week. It's been a lot of fun. The team is so well coached, and there's been consistency with Joel. I think this is his eighth season now behind the bench, and he was the right guy at the right time. So a lot of these prudent decisions have really played out. But Joel is a masterful coach.
I'll ask you, because of your experience here in all of sports, with baseball and hockey and stuff like that, it does appear that the Cubs are on the verge of something here, right? And the Sox are, I think, maybe not this year, but I think that they're also building toward something. Bulls, obviously, Bulls had a wacky year. I don't know what to make of that. I don't think anybody knows what to
do. A lot of injuries
and just really bad snake bit luck. And the Bears have turned themselves into something that's going to be pretty exciting on the lakefront in the fall. How great is this for Chicago that needs a shot in the arm?
The city deserves this for all of them. I think the White Sox are winning again today, so they're going to get off to a good start.
They won today, by the way.
They did win?
They did.
Okay,
yeah.
So are they 3-1
6
now?
6-1. They took the three of the first four against Oakland.
Okay, so they're 3-1 on the road. Yeah. Nice. You know, in what Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer have built with the Cubs, it's amazing. I mean, they have had some tough years to get there, but there's no guarantees going forward. But from a talent standpoint, they're loaded, and they've got a manager who apparently has the right feel with these guys. That, again, is a long season from the middle of February 15th, hopefully for the Cubs, the end of October.
Beginning of November, I think. Last game's like November 2nd.
Yeah, November 2nd. That's a long grind. This has to be fun. So he seems to have the right touch. But also in the playoffs, once you get to the postseason, a lot of things have to go your way. Some bounces have to go your way.
No
and
question.
Some almost supernatural things have to go your way. We've had that here.
Jonathan Toews, when he scored a goal from behind the net. I've never seen that before, and I don't know that I will ever see it again, but it was one of those moments where you're just like, that didn't just – it against the Blues, as a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, we had one last year. We were in the Game 7 in the conference finals against Anaheim. We're up 3-0, certainly not an insurmountable lead playing in Anaheim, and Hossa inadvertently kicked one in. And that never counts. Never counts. But they counted it a good goal. We went up 4-0. We wind up winning those. But you have a series of those things where it just has a different feel. Things go your way. We had a series, might have been last year, a few years ago, we were playing Nashville. Shea Weber's out for the series, their best player, their defenseman. So you've got to have a lot of those breaks. Some shots have to hit the post. Some of yours don't have to. And you hope for the best. So we've had some good fortune, and we've been very deserving, I think, in the three that we've won. But certainly we've had some breaks.
Yeah, you know, John, I mean, you and I have known each other a really long time, and through many iterations of both of our careers. And it is just such a pleasure to see a guy who does the right thing 99 out of 100 times. As I do, as you do,
as he does,
have such great fortune here at this point. I mean, it's just and what you've done for Chicago.
It's great for all of us. That's right.
You made lovable losers out of the Cubs. You created an image around that organization. I mean, if it were not for you, and this is true for people who don't realize this, you sold that team when that team couldn't win. Was lucky to win 30 games. Let's just be honest, you know. And you sold the stadium, and you made Harry Carey, you know, a born again star in Chicago. And now what you've done with the Blackhawks, just amazing. It's first ballot Hall of Famer in some. I can't even figure out which Hall of Fame to put you in at the moment. But
so I could carry it away. I've been very fortunate. It's been a wonderful career, you know. And some of it, almost all of it, has been connected to WGN Radio. And I'm proud of the two of you. And I listen all the time.
Thank you.
You provide me many laughs and very interesting radio on the way home every night, and I enjoy it. So It's good to be on the show. It's a lot of fun. I'm very, very proud of both
Thank
of
you.
You
very
Thanks.
Much. And now he gets to hear me screaming like a little baby on his phone, too, sometimes.
Yeah, since you have this calming effect on Ro, maybe you can help him with his Trump obsession, John.
I don't think so. You know, we talk off the air. I listen enough. I don't think, Anna, that I'm going to be able to solve that one.
No?
And I kind of understand it after our conversation. <up here.
laughs> The great John McDonough, ladies and gentlemen.
John.
Thank you.
The man who really has changed our lives as Chicago sports fans for more than a generation.